Blog Talk Radio.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Let's
take it up one more time. Every praise.
Every praise.
Come on, everybody.
To our God.
what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And praise be to the all-wise, wonderful, living God in the name of Jesus. I'm your host, Pastor David Shaw of Monument of Hope and Deliverance. Well, hope, and I do mean hope, coupled with faith, changes everything. I truly want to give an honor to God who's the head of my life. I want to acknowledge in the name of Jesus my wife, First Lady Diane Shaw. We also would like to acknowledge our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Bishop and Overseer, Bishop Joel David Trout. We want to thank God in the name of Jesus for all the wonderful work that he's doing out there in Los Angeles. We truly give God all praise and honor for him being the head and leader of our ministries. We also want to say hello to all those listening by way of Twitter, Instagram, those are listening in the chat room, those are in the archives, who are listening in the archives, those listening by way of Facebook, Skype, Blog Talk, and YouTube. We want to thank God for you joining in with us on today. We want to give God praise, honor, and glory because he's truly God all by himself. We're coming to you this evening with a powerful anointed message. It's going to be a series that we're going to be on in the name of Jesus for the next few days that we'll be speaking, and we'll begin on today with the opening of the scripture coming out of the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26 and 28. But before we go any further, we do truly want to pray and ask God for understanding, for his spirit to take control. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come forth before you on today, again, thanking you for being God all by yourself, praying and asking you in the name of Jesus, continue to be with us, to speak to us, to speak through us, to help us to bring understanding of thine word, to bring it to life in the message that we have on this evening. Help your teaching to continue to move forward and to use me in a mighty way. We'd be so careful to give you praise, honor, and glory, now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we truly thank you for joining us on this evening. We want to thank God for all the wonderful work that he's been doing and the blessings that he's been bestowing upon us, allowing us to come boldly before the throne of grace on this evening to continue to move forward in the ministry that he's called for us to do. I thank God. Because although things sometimes don't always work the way you want it to, God is still on the throne in the name of Jesus. I thank God. He's truly an awesome God. He's allowed us to be able to come before you on today with an anointed message, praise God, that's coming out of the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 26-28. As we turn our Bible today, we'll be talking about the human life with and which is in the precious name of God. Today we will be talking about the human life, which is precious to God, in the name of Jesus. So let us look at God and how he is sovereign in the creation of life. Every human is a special being, as we read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. We see that we let God's word speak, 28. And the word of God says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creepy thing and creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And then as we journey over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, amen. Chapter 2, verse 7, the word of God says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust and breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So it's important here now to recognize that God created man in his image, after our likeness, and then he gave man dominion over everything that is, was, and ever will be upon this earth. Every human is a special being, and just as we have read, God had given dominion over everything to the human being. One of the primary truths that comes from these verses is the fact that man is the product of God's creation, creative power, not the result of a random evolution. You see, man did not evolve from a single-celled organism or a space of millions of years. He is a special creation of God. You will notice that all the other animals were spoken into existence by the word of God. Man, however, was formed by God out of the dust of the earth, and God breathed life into the nostrils of man. You see, the fact that God singled man in the creation lets us know that there is a vast difference between humans and the rest of the animal kingdom. Here is one of the greatest dangers in the entire system of evolution, as it is taught to our children in public schools. If people can be convinced that mankind is nothing more than a product of random selection, then human life loses all its value. You see, if man simply evolved, then he is no different than a dog or a cat. You kill them, and he simply ceases to exist. There is no God. Man does not have a soul or spirit that lives one. There's no heaven and to gain and no hell to be shunned. Man is nothing more than an animal, and he can be eliminated if it becomes necessary. Those who hold that viewed to see these things, to believe that man should live until his unity, equality of life is over. Then he should be put out of his misery. Once we start down this slippery slope, there will be no turning back. Today, it is babies and brain damage people. Damage people. It will be a mentally and a physically challenging, as well as an old and it will be infirm. See what our world is headed towards. Now, if the evolutionary theory was correct, there would be no problem with this view. However, it is a false view of life, death, and eternity. We will talk more, if you will, about these matters more in a few minutes. But for now, we need to remember that the human is a special being. He or she is to be here because they are a special creation of God Himself. Every human is a special being. We are at least told that man is made in the image of God, according to His Word. That doesn't mean that man looks like God, no, or that man has a body like God, no. That doesn't mean that man was created like God, that man is a impartial being, Godhead. There is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. In a man, there is a body, a soul, and a spirit. Again, I want you to understand that in the Godhead, there is a Father, a Son, and a Spirit. In man, there is a body, a soul, and a spirit. You see, here, God is three-part being. Man is a three-part being. God has intellect, will, and emotion, and so does mankind. Primary way in which mankind can be distinguished from the members of the animal kingdom. Every person who ever comes into this world has three parts. They have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now let's just take a moment and examine each of these parts. Now we will look deeper into that scriptures. Let's look deeper. Now open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. And then we're going to journey over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 20, and Job verse 24, chapter 24, excuse me. Now as we look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, the Word of God says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thy return to the ground, for out of it wast thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." Now let's look at Ecclesiastes. So that's recognizing that as we come from dust, dust is where we shall return. So, understanding we have a purpose to live, and we do have a purpose to yet die. But as we journey over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 20, we read that it says in chapter 3, verse 20, "All go unto one place, all are of dust, and all turn to dust again. And then we recognize when Job speaks, so we come to the point of understanding that to this world to live, but as we also have a purpose, and that is to also die. So ashes to ashes, as we've heard in the past, and dust to dust. Dust is where we come from, and dust is what we shall return. Now let's look at the body. The body is a vehicle with which we move through to interact with our world. It is the body that provides a home for the soul and the spirit while we are in the world. Both humans and animals have bodies, both humans and animals. But what we have here is that when we die, our bodies return. Now, let's read verses 3 in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 19, as we read. And then we read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 20. Now let's look at the soul. The soul is a seat in the will, in the character and intellect, the thought and the emotions. The soul is where the reasons, loves, hates, and wants are, etc. The soul is what we refer to when we speak of our mind. Our soul animates your body and allows you to interact with your world and with other people. In short, your soul is that part of the you that makes you know who you are. Your soul makes you self-conscious. This is a sense in which you can be said that animals have souls. That is, they have life within them, and they are self-conscious and able to interact with the world around them. But now let's look at the spirit. Here's where the similarities between man and animals end forever. While the soul makes us self-conscious, the spirit allows us to be self-conscious, God-conscious. Every man that is born into this world is born dead spiritually. Let us read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And the Word of God says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you have he quickened who we were dead in trespasses and sins. But when the Spirit of God comes by and quickens and brings to life the Spirit which is within a man, that person will find his Spirit reaching out in faith toward God. Now, after salvation, the new spirit of life within a person begins to transfer the soul spirit of man. These changes within the spirit and the soul. And understand that the soul does demonstrate themselves in the action of the body. All of the complicated as it may seem, but think of it like this. The soul, the spirit are similar and in the manner in which they are used in the spiritual life of the believer. They are different in their references. Now, the soul is man's horizontal view with the world. The spirit is man's vertical view of God. It is important to understand that both refer to the immortal part of man, but only the spirit refers to the man's walk with God. The soul refers to the man's walk in the world. You see, when we leave this world, the soul and the spirit return to God, be dealt with accordingly. Let us read the verse that confronts this issue. Open the Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. Chapter 12, verse 7. The word of God said, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." This is the redeemed to glory. The spirit shall return to God. We were made from the dust, so the dust is going to be gone back to the ground. But the spirit is going to return back to God. Now we will go to John chapter 14. Verses 1 through 3. That's in the book of the first, the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. And the word of God says, King James Version, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Yea, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you will be also." We have destiny. We have purpose, we have direction, and we have a place to go. This is what the Word of God is letting us know. That so long as we continue to follow and acknowledge His Word, acknowledge His life, and acknowledge His realness in our life, we have a place to be received. He said we can see that we will go to hell, that we can and will go to hell. We will have no more scriptures to confirm this truth. But if we go to Psalms chapter 9, Psalms chapter 9, verse 17, Psalms chapter 9, verse 17, and the Word of God says, "The wicked shall be turned, and all the nations that forget God." It's there clearly and shows us that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Now we look at Thessalonians, to 1, Get Thessalonians. Chapter 1. Okay. Turn over Thessalonians. And then we see that in closing, the fact that man is a special creation of God and that he is made in the image of God and has the capability to know him and proves that man is a special creation in the eyes of God, of the Lord. This establishes the fact that God is sovereign creation of human life. So as we continue forth, God is sovereign in the life, in every way that we live. He's sovereign in a way that we can acknowledge the things that he has for us to do. And he's able to lead us through the situations, no matter what we experience in our life. But as we go to the determines what God is all about, we recognize that God determines the dawn of every life. God is in the charge of our lives, of the created from the time we're in the womb. And notice a few instances of this in the Bible. When we look at Genesis chapter 29, verses 31, and as we turn there, 29, verse 31. Okay. And the word of God says, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And then we look at Genesis chapter 25, verse 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Then we go to Genesis chapter 30. Verse 12. The word of God said in Zelpha, Leah's maid, barren Jacob, a second son. And we look at verse 22, the chapter 30. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her. and opened her womb. You look at Judges chapter 12, verse 13, verses 2 and 3. And there was a certain man of Zorah, family of Demites, whose name was Manah, and his wife was barren and bore not. And remember, we're talking about God is sovereign in the life. And understandably speaking, when we think of childbirth, we think of being just the product of physical union between a man and a woman. It is far more than that. There is a sovereign God behind the scenes that determines whether or not that egg is fertilized. He determines whether or not life begins. When we look at Psalms 128, Psalms 128, and we look at verses 3. The word of God says, thy wife shall be as fruitful vine by the side of thy house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that turns shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. You see, I realize that there are often physical issues involved as well. Still, behind it all is the sovereign will of God. He opens the wound and he closes the wound according to he and him alone determines the dawn of human life. You see, God determines the design of life, every life, every life. Not only does God determine whether or not there will be life, he also determines what the life will become. He has a plan for every human that comes into this world. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, we read that God has his hand on Jeremiah and even had a plan for the prophet's life before he was ever born. The same was the true in the life of John the Baptist. It tells us all about what we would be before he was ever born. But as we look into Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, we read, the word of God says, before I formed thee in the belly of, I knew thee, and before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. That's what he tells Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 5. And in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 13, as we turn to Luke, chapter 1, 13 through 16, the word of God says that, but an angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for your prayers is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. 16, and many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. What would you and I say when we are in this life of random choice and happiness? And what you and I are in this life is not a part of random choice and helpless genetics. What we are in this life is the product of divine sovereignty. We are what we are because God determined it to be that way. That is, this was the conviction of David. Job also held this view. Every modern science which tries to see hard to destroy the very thought of God confirms for us that we cannot be the product of mere chance. Notice these facts about your body. The average body contains some 7.5 trillion cells. It is far more complex than the most advanced computer. Each cell has 200 trillion tiny groups of atoms called proton molecules. Largest molecule is called DNA. Carries hereditary information from the parents to the offspring. Also carries genetic code. It determines if you will be a man or a mammoth. DNA in one cell is 6 foot long. Total DNA and body would fill the box the size of an ice cube. But if it were joined together, it would reach to the sun and back 400 times. All our cells contain information found in all of the other cells. Each cell in our body carries the necessary information to one another. And for another you. If the coded DNA information and the instructions of one human were translated into English, it would fill a 1,000-volume encyclopedia. In cell division, the cell forms a rotating double helix. It rotates at 75 turns per second. This is equal to straightening out the cathedral full of tangible microphone wire in under the split second. Yet the cell supplication is so accurate that it is equivalent to the rate of less than one letter of an entire set of Encyclopedia Britannica. What I'm trying to get at is to understand the fact that every human that is conceived in the womb is special. Every person, whether born or unborn, is conceived with a purpose. Every human life is precious and none out of hand. Life must be protected and preserved at all costs. That unborn child in that mother's womb is precious. That mentally incapacitated person in that institution is precious. That terminally ill individual is precious. Regardless of their condition, every human life is precious in the sight of God, and it must be defended from their own look as it is something to say and do that can be thrown away. The sovereign God, in the conclusion of life, just as surely as the Lord Almighty is sovereign in the creation of the continuation of human life, he is also sovereign in the conclusion of life. Neither man nor Satan has the power to create life. Neither has the ability to contain life apart from the sovereign will of God. And neither has the right to make the decision of to end life, the Bible says about this matter. God alone appoints the time for man's death. This is clearly taught in the scriptures of John chapter 12, Job chapter 12, Luke, Psalms chapter 39, and Hebrews chapter 9. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. That's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It says here, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Look at Psalms chapter 39. Verse 4. Some good stuff we're getting on today. Praise God. Chapter 39, verse 4. And the word of God says, the Lord make me to know my end in the measure of my days, and it is that I may know how frail I am. Only God knows. And the scriptures that I'll be acknowledging are scriptures that are supporting precisely what it is that the Word of God is saying about God, knowing when our time is. And only God is the one who creates. The evidence of the Old Testament record. In Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 through 13, Belshazzar was told when he would die. Jesus told the parable in the New Testament that it illustrates the truth for us. In Luke chapter 12, verse 17, verse 16 through 20, we read, just as surely as the Lord has the plan regarding the beginning of the middle of your life, he also has a plan for the end of your life as well. He knows the day, the hour, the minute, and when you will breathe your last, and you will go out into the eternity you have chosen. You see, God alone appoints the terms of man's death. Not only does God decide when we die, he also determines where we will breathe our last as well. Regardless of how we live this world, we will leave it exactly when, where, and how the Lord has determined it to happen. It is the Lord's will that Moses die alone with God on a mountain. We read that in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 5 through 8. Also, it was God will that Jacob die surrounded by his children. And we can read about that in Genesis chapter 49, verse 33. It was God's will that Paul die at the hands of Roman executioners. Sometimes people leave through tragedies. Sometimes people die because of disease. Sometimes they go out of here by way of an old age. Sometimes they go suddenly with the bloom of youth still on your cheeks. But, however, they leave this world. It is God's will that must determine the when, the where, and the how, and not the will of man. The only exception, I think, is that is the statement of settlement and punishment. The word of God is clear. When man murders his fellow man, he is to pay for that crime with his own life. And we can read about that in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Let's go there. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. That man is to pay his own life, takes another's. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. And whoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. In closing, whether we are talking about murder, suicide, or abortion, man has assumed the place of God. When he reaches out to take another human being's life, each of these horrible sins ends life permanently, and each will be judged and punished harshly by God. Now, please, don't misunderstand me. There are times when it becomes necessary to hold fundamental treatment and just allow nature to take its course. If you have had to make these decisions, my heart goes out to you. You have not committed murder, but you have simply placed the matter into the hands, God's hands. And if you have had to do that, and in conclusion, I hope you agree with me that a human life is precious. It is so precious that God sent his son Jesus into this world to save life through his death on the cross. We need to pray for our nation and our world. We have taken the first steps down a slippery slope that will lead us further and further away from God. We have witnessed the dawn of the new day, and in our contrary, we are here in the long run. No one may be safe from the death merchant. We need to take our stand, cast our votes, and lift our voices in favor of life. We can make the differences, and we must. Says that life is precious. I say amen. I wonder who will join me in the throne of grace this evening and call upon the name of the Lord intercession for our nation and the world and the helpless voices, people who face death in the name of convince in a time when they can't do it themselves. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. As we stand forth in the gap for those who are unable to speak for themselves, we speak for them. As we ask that, Lord God, you let your spirit and your reign continue to manifest itself upon each of those who are crying out, help, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we pray for life in the name of Jesus for those who are having a situation when they have difficulties with their health. We pray for those who are struggling, oh God, in the name of Jesus, the homeless, hungry, sick, and those that are on their deathbed. We pray for those that are less fortunate than ourselves, that you make a way out of no way, in Jesus' name. We give you praise, honor, and glory, because we thank you for this ministry, for which you led us and allowed us to do Lady Diane Ministry and Pastor Shaw Ministry and Friends. We give you praise, honor, and glory, now and forever. God bless you. Jesus be with you. I love you. And so does God.